The long-awaited return, I mean, it's been about 24 hours. Browner and, actually 23 hours. Browner and Burt, we are back on the Mightier 1090, courtesy of YouTube, if you want to see our faces. But I'm John Browner. I am joined by Burt Grossman, and we do a little something called Browner and Burt. If you want to hear us, you're hearing us. If you want to see us, head over to YouTube. Kaplan and crew, we are part of the Great Friends Podcast Network. We're still number one because everybody else got 86th. In addition to that, you can find us.
Nobody can work with Scott. You know that.
You can find us in a podcast form as well at the iTunes podcast store. Same formula, Kaplan and crew, Browner and Burt are in the feed. And you can always find us on social media at our separate accounts at Burt _ Grossman on Twitter and at Browner's podcast. There's also a Browner and Burt Twitter handle. So you can also talk to us through there as well. And if you just can't do any of that, just Google Browner and Burt and it'll come to you in some way, shape, or form. We've got a lot to talk about on the show today. A lot of football. We might get to some Padres at some point in the second half because they seem to be losing their grip. But before we get to any of that, Burt Grossman has a bone he wants to pick with you guys. Burt, what's your problem?
I got no bone. You know, we had a great interview with Christy Martin, which you didn't watch the Netflix thing and ruined it. And you had to do these late softball questions.
Bro, you're a funny guy, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that after you go ahead. Go ahead.
So I click on it, right? It's 2 seconds in and a thumbs down hits already and it's got one viewer. How you get a thumbs down on 2 seconds in? You didn't even get past your Kaplan and crew spiel and Birded _ Grossman and all that stuff for Twitter. Thumbs down. What do you think about that?
Who is that? I mean, listen. I mean, technically, if I wanted to find out, I'm pretty sure I could. Oh, wow. I just don't care enough to go through the entire trouble of searching through that
I'm telling you to right now.
I don't work for you, clown. What you mean you telling me to do? They ain't telling me to do nothing. I don't work for you.
Whoa, I'm going to say it's like a short 46-year-old unemployed dude that lives with his mom still. Maybe a Florida or something.
You forgot the most important part. That guy's definitely going bald.
And he's white. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And he's white.
I don't care what color you are. You're probably going bald if the first thing you do is you sit around all day waiting for the show to start. And as soon as it starts, you're going to be the first person. Thumbs down.
Yeah, I should be a CIA profiler. I guarantee you find out who it is, and I guarantee that's what it is. We're going to pull up his picture on social media.
So. So that means you could be a CIA profiler? That seems like a serious job.
Dude, I'm just telling you, it comes up, and if somebody lives in, like, Florida or something, mid to late 40s, short, bald, unemployed, lives with his mom. You pull that up, and you find out who it is, and it's all that, I'm going straight to the CIA, FBI, anything. I'm profiling.
You do know you have to pass, like, a bunch of psychological tests to do that?
You got to do a background and drug test, too?
No. I know you're going to fail a drug test. I'm talking about the mental aspect of it.
Oh, all right. So I might not work for the FBI or CIA, but I'll start up my own cybersecurity business. And I profile.
Not cybersecurity. There you go. Profiling.
You know how many, like, people would do me?
Whoa.
People would hire me? That too. But you know how many people would hire me just, like, to check on, like, Tinder backgrounds, Facebook, Instagram? Deshaun Watson would hire me. I guarantee it. My services.
If you got to look up all these, this is my biggest problem with dating on the internet. We'll get to football at some point, I hope. If you got to do all that, don't date the person, man. Like, if you got to turn into CSI Miami just to find out if this person you dating is doing what they say they're doing, then just don't date that person or be by yourself. How about
that? You don't have to. $19.99, I'll do it for you.
That seems like a lot.
$19.99.
That seems like a lot.
All right, 19.99 pesos.
I pay $9. I pay $10 for that service. $19.99.
Would you do like a recurring $10 a month service?
Yes. Yes.
For me to provide unlimited background checks and profiles?
Yes. If I was dating deep in the game, I'd pay $10 a month for that because I need to know.
All right. Well, there you go.
Can you get medical records?
What you're forgetting is I'm a profiler. I just look at their habits, and then I'll tell you what they're about.
Well, guess what? You need medical records to kind of form those profiles, bro. Come on now.
I don't need that. I can just tell by what they like and don't like.
Right, so you're going to go through their profile pictures?
And I'm going to see what they like on other people's stuff and what they don't, what kind of websites they're visiting. I'm just telling you, man. I'm just telling you. And don't steal the ID either, because I'll sue you.
Are you going to put that up behind you supporting these kids in wheelchairs, or are you going to need another office for that?
Yeah. I'm going to put my profile services right there. That's going to be, going to be a sign right there.
For people who listen to us on the Mightier 1090 from the border past Santa Barbara, Bert has a picture on his wall behind him of him doing outstanding charity work, because it's not a secret. Bert does a lot of work with kids, and so he's very good in that aspect of helping out within the community. The rest of it, he's terrible.
All right, you act like I placed that on there, like you're, I don't know, you know what, you got nothing on the wall. You had a bench press with 135 pounds I saw before you signed in. In your backyard, you need to adjust your camera so I can't see that.
No.
This is my office for Adaptive Sports. It's up on the wall.
I'm not in my
bedroom or anything.
Why would you be in your bedroom?
You act like I put this up in my house. This is my office where we, look, I'll show you right now. Look at all these wheelchairs and stuff. See all that?
Right.
Those are hand cycles. So I'm in my office.
For the people who cannot see that, Bert just turned his camera around to show the inventory of hand cycles he has in his office, because again, there's some portions of his life where he decided to be a good person, and then the rest of it, I don't, just a dumpster apart. Fire. Yeah.
But when I start up my profile services, things will change.
What will you call it? What you gonna call it?
I'm not sure yet. I ain't gonna tell you, because you'll steal it.
Bert file.
You'll know when I file the paperwork. That's when you'll know. And you had me on as a guest. Did you tell me you're bringing on a mask maker tomorrow? You won't bring on a dude that makes masks, but you won't bring my profiling services on.
Let me tell y'all something about our guest tomorrow. Our guest, the Henry Company, they are the providers of the masks you see with all the guys in the NBA wearing their masks. A lot of NFL players, baseball players are now coming up. The people who supplied the mask for the Obama birthday party, they're on the show tomorrow.
They didn't wear a mask at the Obama birthday party.
This guy.
They didn't wear a mask. I saw the videos, man.
They're going to be a great guest. And with them on the show, there may be an opportunity for you to get some masks as well, because the pandemic is absolutely back and in full effect. And so we want to help you guys protect each other as much as you possibly can, if you choose to protect yourself.
I'm vaccinated.
Civil liberties. You still have to wear a mask going inside, big fella. Come on now. They can make you a profiler mask.
They can put their logo. I gotta be double vaccinated. I gotta go get the booster now, and I gotta wear a mask. You wanna live?
Death is in there. Wow. Okay. Well, then that's not then day. What you doing? No mask for you. Run free. Go to a concert.
I am, if they have one.
Yeah, that's true.
You think I'm gonna be wearing one at our Freaknik at 29 Palms? You're wrong.
Well, listen, there'll be a vaccinated Freaknik. And then there will be a non-vaccinated Freaknik out in 29 Palms. You can come to whichever. You can come to both. But just know, we're going to have a little bit for everybody.
We talk sports, man. You're letting us go off the rails again.
Did you get a chance to watch last night's football game? I know you're not really big on preseason football, but did you get a chance to watch last night?
No, I didn't know. Well, I shouldn't say that. I watched a couple clips. But I don't watch the game. But no. But I watched like a couple of the highlights turn off and on.
Jacksonville played New Orleans. And obviously, New Orleans had, I don't even know if I want to refer to this as a quarterback battle. But there was some people under the assumption that Taysom Hill could be an NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. Under no assumption has he ever played a full game as a quarterback. And if you go to his days at BYU, he was below average, which is why he's a wide receiver / running back / tight end. For some reason, they thought he was going to beat out Jameis Winston at quarterback. And I find this to be laughable, because some people get a million opportunities to do one thing. This guy was a below average passer who they trotted out every now and then as a gimmick during Drew Brees' end of his career. And you really thought he was going to beat out Jameis Winston? I just didn't understand that. So Jameis Winston looks fantastic last night. Taysom Hill started the game, by the way, and was extremely subpar against a pathetic Jacksonville team. Do you think Urban Meyer is going to be successful in the NFL?
I don't at all. I think it's hard for a lot of coaches to be successful nowadays. You know, you saw some back in the old days before free agency.
College coaches, you're speaking of.
Yeah, you saw, but going to the NFL, I guess before free agency was still hard, but it was a little easier. College coaches are about recruiting. I mean, that's it. I mean, if you get the best guys on the field, like look at Alabama. I mean, Saban's great at Alabama, but he wasn't great at Miami by any means.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you take the college, the greatest college coach of all time, and he couldn't make it one or two seasons in the NFL, and it's because you can't recruit. Everybody's on the same, you know, the same level with the draft and free agency and the cap. That and, you know, a lot of the successful college coaches are bullies because they're dealing with 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids that aren't making any money. This is before NILs. But, you know, now you're dealing with guys making $50 million a year that are grown men that got their own kids. You can't translate the way you treat them the way you did before, and you can't run these, you know, these almost like prison type atmospheres of discipline in the NFL. It just doesn't work.
I think Urban Meyer is going to, and even from
well, I'm saying this is why you never see Bobby Knight try to go to the NBA. I mean, what would happen? I mean, he would get knocked out.
I think there's a lot wrong with the way college football is organized, or college athletics in general, because the head coach is the program. The players come and go. The head coach is the one constant in a program. And even today, yesterday, Nick Saban said at a press conference, this is not a democracy. Like, he's a dictator. He has no problem telling you he's a dictator. And he wants you to know that they know that he runs a dictatorship and what he says goes. I don't think Urban Meyer is going to be successful for that matter and that matter only. I don't think it's really a football X's and O's situation because he's a smart football guy. He knows a lot about football. But there's a large part of football that has very little to do with X's and O's. And I think that's the part where he's going to struggle, and I don't know if he ever gets past that.
And he's at a straight dumpster fire team.
And organization, I mean, by the way. That.
Organization, team, everything. I mean, it's not like, you know, if you want to watch like a great watch Miami. Like, even in preseason, they look like they're coached by like absolute professionals. I mean, everybody's where they should be. I mean, that's a staff. That's a staff that's going to build Miami that could probably build anywhere, but you don't see that a lot in the NFL. You see mostly the guys that got the best quarterback are the best.
There are a couple of places where even when they lose, at least it looks like their coaching is on point. Their talent may not be. Like when New England was getting stomped last year, they at no point ever looked unorganized. They just didn't have any talent, so they got beat. The Bengals look like they have no talent and they don't have any they're not organized at all. Like it runs in a fashion that is very predictable. We're about to find out if Arizona's in the same boat. Because can Cliff Kingsbury coach? We don't know. We're about to find out. Arizona has a track record of being terribly ran as an organization and being terrible on the football field since, Kurt Warner.
Yeah, and I don't think they're going to be good, and I don't think that's a good staff by any means. But, you know, you look at and it's not because he's young, because you look at San Francisco, the Rams, I mean, Miami. I mean, they have young staffs, and they have it together pretty much. But then you look at some of the older – I mean, the Raiders have – look, you took John Gruden, gave him all that money. They still look as much as a dumpster fire as when they paid him that money. What's it been, 4 years now? You can't see no improvement. Nothing. You can't show me any matrices or any improvement in that team.
For certain fires to be put out, you got to move on. You got to let that burn out, and you got to start over completely. New owner, new head coach, sometimes new city. Will that work for the Chargers? Well, I don't know, because they've got a young head coach as well. They've got a new staff. Do you think who's going to struggle more in their first season? The Jaguars with Urban Meyer or the Chargers with their new head coach?
Oh, the Jaguars, without a doubt. I mean, the Chargers are still talented. I mean, that's been the Spanos effect. No matter how good they look on paper, they can't even make the playoffs. And that's not the roster by any means. It has been their coaching staff, but I think your coaching staff's pretty good now. But that remains to be seen. I mean, he's never been a head coach, so you can only guess at this point. I mean, you'll have a much better idea midway through the season, but you know, when somebody's never been a head coach, you just guess him pretty much. And I'm guessing he's going to be good because in order to get an opportunity, Chargers or anywhere that young and to send that quickly, you have to be pretty impressive within all the organizations. And I think he has.
I think a lot of that has to do with from the top down as well. Over the weekend, we didn't get a chance to visit this yesterday because we had that fantastic interview with Chrissy Martin. If you guys haven't had a chance to listen to it, I would encourage you to head over to YouTube and do that. And if you're just tuning in and you're driving in your car, you're listening to Brown and Burt. I'm John Brown, and a voice you heard before mine was Burt Grossman. Let's talk about some of the quarterbacks over the weekend that actually put in some work. And we actually have video. Zach Wilson, 9 for 11, 128 yards, 2 touchdowns against the Green Bay Packers. look at this throw and you tell me what you think of what you saw from Zach Wilson.
I mean, I seen the throw. I mean, it's a great throw. It's an arm talent throw, obviously. But I think pretty much everybody at that level can make that throw. It's more about the coverages and tricking the quarterback and, you know, getting pressure. And it's preseason, and unless you're Justin Fields getting walloped, you're not getting a lot of pressure most of the time, at least early in the game, you know, when the guys that are going to play. And you're not getting any coverages to fool you. It's you know, like you said a couple weeks ago, it's if I'm trying to evaluate a corner or a wide receiver, I'm not going to give them all this help and I'm not going to do all these exotic coverages because I want turnovers. I want to see if he can cover. Because I know I can put I can put the other stuff on all day and, you know, trick a quarterback. You can do that with anybody. But can you cover one-on-one? And that's all they run. So you're not getting tricked in anything. So you can make a lot of these throws, but a lot of these throws will be picks in the regular season.
And you talked about Justin Fields getting smashed. And I'm going to play this hit. This was vicious, man. This was vicious. I don't know if their fear of letting him play is because they fear more hits like that. But if you watch Jacksonville, their offensive line isn't great either. The Jets' offensive line isn't great either. The Patriots have a fantastic offensive line. And so do the
49ers. I'm sorry. Can you play Justin Fields one more time?
Here you go. What are you looking here?
I mean, the bigger concern for me on this hit, I mean, the hit obviously is an old school hit, you know, a 90s hit, and it's a flag by any means. But the concerning part is it's a blitz off the outside. He's in shotgun. He's a right-handed quarterback. It's not coming from his blind side, and he never sees it coming. I mean, that would be more of a concern to me than anything else. This isn't blind side. This is front side, right-handed quarterback, corner, you know, coming off the edge, right. Blitz. You can see it coming. He doesn't see anything, doesn't recognize it when – till he hit and his helmet was knocked off and he still probably didn't recognize it. That would be more concerning at this point. I mean, he'll pick that up obviously in the NFL as it goes on. But when, you know, you talk about somebody being ready week one, which is, you know, a week and a half away, if you're at week three and you're not seeing that coming, even before the snap, you should, you know, Tom Brady will see that coming. Every veteran quarterback will see that coming. Even if you miss it, you have to see it when it's coming from your, it's not your blind side. You have to see that. I mean, how many times – that's what quarterbacks step up for, so they don't deal with that.
One of the funny things that you just said that I found to be interesting, and they talked about this on the telecast because I watched that whole game. The Buffalo Bills ran an exact same blitz maybe 6 minutes later in the fourth quarter. He got rid of the ball immediately. The quarterback, the pass rusher never got a chance to hit him, got rid of the ball, got a first down off the exact same pass rush. And so his ability to pick things up was evident immediately.
I think it was take that hit, you better pick it up.
Right. 12 plays later. So I found that to be a fantastic kind of judgment of how quick he can pick things up. I mean, if you don't want to lose your head like that a couple times a game, you might want to be able to see that. So I thought
you probably
was
the only one watching that game.
Huh?
You probably the only one watching that game even heard that.
Dude, I watched that entire thing. The game that the highlight and the individual I want to talk about next is this young man. Trey Lance, he was up and down, and I mean up and down in a way where as much as the people in San Francisco are telling you that he might be ready day one,
he's not.
And Jimmy Garoppolo's confidence is shot, Trey Lance is the only one that I'm looking at and I watch him play, and this is even with Zach Wilson involved in the mix. I look at him and I go, he doesn't look like he knows what he's doing. He's just throwing to the people he thinks it open. He's not throwing guys open. He doesn't see open windows. And other than that pass we just saw, a lot of the passes that he's making, they're short, quick. You see man open, throw ball.
And they're going to be in for some trouble because they gave up the world for him. And 2 years prior than that, or 3 years, they gave up the world for Garoppolo. And neither one of them at this point look ready. So, you have to – at that point, that's on the coach, I mean, at that point. Because Garoppolo, I mean, you saw how quick he goes in a shell. This is preseason. Garoppolo's been playing a long time to be throwing these bad picks. I mean, that's hard to believe. And you'll see, you know – you'll see Patrick Mahomes will throw a pick or something, but he's just so good. He's just trying to force stuff or make a highlight reel. I mean, you already know what he can do. It's not a question. You already know his mental toughness. He's just playing around out there right now because it's preseason, and he's seeing, you know, if he can get something on ESPN highlight of the day or something, make some crazy throws. So he'll force things and he'll do that because you already know what he can do. But guys that haven't done it, you're right. He looks like he's playing in a Nerf game in the park. He's just throwing a piece. I mean, even that one, he threw in a double coverage on a preseason game. Great throw, great everything. But during the season, when they start checking you with coverages, he's gonna have some problems recognizing these, you know, disguised coverages and these traps.
The one thing that I did see from all these guys, and I thought that it was interesting, it was telling, a lot of these guys had a lot of poise within the pocket. But again, those are second. A lot of these guys will be washing cars and working at Arby's in another month. So,
Let me give you a good example, because I remember this 20, 30 years ago. I remember when Ryan Leaf got drafted for the Chargers. He went in the first preseason game and you know, killed it like you're supposed to. And I remember the GM at the time, assistant GM, was Billy Devaney. And I remember texting him saying, oh, man, looks like you got a great quarterback. Congratulations, finally. You know, all know where that went.
The return of the second half. It's the second half. Two-minute drill. It's not two-minute drill. We got plenty. We've got 20 minutes. It's a 20-minute drill. Browner and Burt here on the Mightier 1090 on YouTube, on podcast networks across America. Just Google Browner and Burt if you're looking to talk to him on the internet so you can yell at him solo. He'll profile you, so be careful what kind of images you send him because he will track you down. But you got to do that at Burt_Grossman on Twitter and Burt Grossman regular on Facebook. If you're looking for me for any reason, please don't. I'm Browner's podcast on Twitter. We talked about in the first half of this podcast Burt's unbelievable astonishment that we get the thumbs down 3 seconds into every single show. So whoever you are, keep it up. Thanks for watching. Like, subscribe. Like, subscribe, and share, as they say on the internet worldwide. We talked about the differences, the pluses and the minuses of Zach Wilson. We didn't talk about Mac Jones, but Trey Lance and Justin Fields. But let's stop at Mac Jones real quick. Mm-hmm. Cam Newton's got COVID, or he's in COVID protocol, whatever the hell it is. He's going to miss 5 days. He's going to miss 5 days going into a camp that he is in a competitive battle with a rookie quarterback who actually looks like he can play the position. The Patriot way, play the position. Is Cam Newton done in New England?
No, because like we just talked about the last segment, it's still preseason. If Mac Jones can come out there and look like that in week 1, 2, 3 – Cam Newton's done in New England, but it's a big jump from a real game to, you know, a BS game. And I don't even know why they have preseason, to be honest with you. But, I mean, it's become such a joke, but especially for quarterbacks. Like you said earlier, if you want to watch one-on-one matchups, see what guys can do, that's great. But for quarterbacks in this at this level, it's a joke. So, no, I don't think he's done yet. But, you know, if Mac Jones kills it the first couple weeks of the real games, yeah, he's done.
I think Cam Newton's done. I really do. And I'm a huge Cam Newton fan on many levels. But I got to tell you, what Bill Belichick doesn't want is guys he can't rely on to be focused on football first and foremost. And I think Cam Newton is getting himself into a situation where he's not focused on football first and foremost. Bill Belichick has actually come out now and said that it is a quarterback competition. That is not what you want. They wanted to give Cam this job. They wanted to ease Mac Jones into the position. Cam Newton has now taken that ability off the table for them. If Mac Jones starts preseason game number 3 and just lights it up. I'm talking about 18 for 22, 200 yards, 2.5 touchdowns. We've seen the last of Cam Newton if he does that in a Patriot uniform.
I mean, they're still going to keep him for the season.
I think they're going to cut him because
he doesn't make any money.
But here's why.
It's all incentive based.
Here's why I think they would cut him. The backup, the third string quarterback, plays the same way the starting quarterback does. And unless they plan on using Cam Newton in a backup role where he's treated like Taysom Hill, which I doubt they're going to do, what's the point of having a guy of that magnitude in your locker room if he's not the starting quarterback?
Good point. I see that. And do you think he gets picked up? Do you think Cam gets picked up if he gets cut?
No.
Nobody.
I honestly think they took him that long to get signed because people were not sure if he was healthy, if he could throw the football. Now it appears he still struggles with throws, But there are other aspects now surrounding NFL teams, like what's going on with COVID, and Cam won't get vaccinated. So I just think he's put himself.
Yeah, and he was terrible last year.
He was terrible because he had COVID, by the way. He openly said that I had COVID. When I came back, it took me a while, and I never really got back to where my normal health was because I never was right.
So why's he got it again? He didn't get the antibodies?
They don't say he has it. They said he was in close contact, or he stepped out of the lines of testing protocol on the team sanctioned or team approved visit he did to a doctor. That's what they said. So it none of it makes any sense. It sounds as if to me that they like what they see in Mac Jones, and they're trying to find a way to get Cam Newton out of the building.
And I think all the fans want Mac Jones in there too.
I agree.
Yeah, and I think they saw enough. You know, New England's so spoiled. I mean, they've been so – I mean, you have Drew Bledsoe and then Tom Brady for the last 30 years pretty much, and all these Super Bowls and playoffs. I mean, they're spoiled, and they saw enough in one season from Cam Newton that they don't want to see anymore.
I agree. So speaking of another person that – I mean, I don't need to see anymore of this person. I've already made my mind up. Your quarterback, Dak Prescott, appears to have a shoulder injury.
Man, come on. Come on.
Come on what? Is that not your guy?
No, that's my guy. I think he's fine.
So
you're getting played by the media.
I'm
getting part of the media, and you're still getting played by the media.
How so?
Man, he'll be the starter week one. I'm gonna guarantee you right here. Just like I guarantee you they be in the Super Bowl last year against the Steelers. How'd that turn out? Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't go with that if I was you.
I wouldn't take Bert's recommendations to Vegas if I were y'all. What I will say is this: injuries stack up on football players. You know this all too well.
Mm-hmm.
Every injury you get, every surgery you get, every year you play in the NFL, you lose something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not a lot, but every year you play in the NFL, every major injury you take, you lose a little bit depending on the severity of the injury and depending on the amount of taxing your body takes year to year. So this guy had his ankle almost snapped off his leg, comes back, and now has a shoulder problem. So you mean to tell me everybody should be like, oh, he'll be fine?
No. And a couple things. So, you know, you get a guy like Roethlisberger with his knees or Tom Brady with their knees. I mean, they're statue quarterbacks that can process the defense and can throw the ball where it needs to be thrown. And they always can come back because that was never part of their game, to be honest with you. And Roethlisberger really didn't start going downhill until he got that, you know, elbow surgery, because that started to affect his throwing arm, and that's a different story. So the thing with Zach was part of his, or I mean, Dak was part of his game. A big part was mobility, and yeah, you lose that, and then yeah, it's concerning. If he really does have a shoulder injury, I just find it hard because Dallas is such a, you know, they're the premier, whether they're good or bad, they're the premier franchise.
Unfortunately, I think that's so true.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how bad they are; they always are worth the most money. They're always the most talked about. They are the premier franchise. So. I find it crazy that if there was something seriously wrong with him, we wouldn't have heard by now. But who knows?
I think that we are going to enter a season where Dak Prescott will probably play every game, but he won't do it healthy. Dak Prescott now has the contract of a Patrick Mahomes.
You got to play every game. Yeah, you got to play hurt now.
You got to – if you can walk, you can play. That's the position – He, by signing that contract, rightfully so, I would have done the same thing. Now you've taken that money, you've got to get on the field. I don't give a damn what's wrong with you. Like, your arm got to be out the socket for you to not take the field.
It will still pop it back in, give you a shot, and you still better play. Because you're right, because the thing with everybody now, and Dak last year or anybody, is I'm banged up a little bit. I don't want to get hurt because it's going to affect my contract. When you sign that contract, you already got the contract, so you better go out there and play hurt. And that's just the way it is, unfortunately, or fortunately. So,
the Cowboys play in the worst division in the NFL. Literally the worst division in the NFL. I'm talking about worst in the AFC South. It's bad. And I think they're still not going to be able to win that division. Dak Prescott is one of the most overrated players I've seen come around in a very long time. He's not terrible. And this is what sparks the debate.
Let me ask you a question. If you don't think Dallas is winning that division, what trash team do you think it is?
Washington? I think
who's your quarterback?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
And you think Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to win the division?
I think
he's more up and down than Nick Foles, man.
But you know what?
And he's 48 years old.
He's probably the same age as you. You're probably right. You know what's not up and down about the Redskins or the Washington football team? Mm-hmm. The defense. The defense. Your dog Chase Young, number one pass rusher. That defense.
I got a seat on that.
That defense gives you all the stability that you're going to need week in and week out because the offense goes up and down.
All right, now let me butt in on that one because I agree with you to a point. If you have a young quarterback, like I think Tua or some of those, I think defense carry him. But Fitzmagic has been around so long, he don't care what his defense is. He's going to push it. And the problem with him is he pushes it, and sometimes it's great, and sometimes it's a disaster. But he's still going to push it. I don't care whether you got the steel curtain up there or you got the trash Jaguars and he's on that team. He's still going to push it.
I like Ryan Fitzpatrick from a standpoint of watching him play for someone else. I would never want him on the team that I'm rooting for just because his hot and cold nature is not my taste. I would rather have vanilla than to have some pick your poison flavor.
Mm-hmm. But in that division, boysenberry. Yeah.
Right. In that division against Philadelphia, who is god awful, against Dallas, who I think their best quote unquote player is the quarterback who's going to often be hurt. And what are the Giants? No one knows.
No, is
Daniel Jones any good? Is Saquon Barkley recovered properly from torn ACL?
Well,
no one knows.
Yeah, but what they do know is they have the worst offensive line in football by a long shot. So Barkley ain't going to do anything at this level with no offensive line unless you're Barry Sanders. Ooh. And Daniel Jones isn't good enough to – I don't know if any quarterback's good enough in the NFL these days with the way they bring it if you don't have an offensive line. So even if those two positions pan out, it's not going to matter because you have no offensive line. And there's never been a bad offensive line
in the Super
been
Bowl.
A good team or even been a good team.
Here's something interesting as well. There was a report that the Oakland Raiders attempted to trade for Khalil Mack. And again, listen, they traded him to Chicago. And apparently, according to reports, they reached out to the Bears before free agency to try to trade and have him return. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
No. And again, I don't know how much time Gruden's going to get. Is this year four or year five?
Four.
He's on year four of a 10-year contract, and he hasn't even made a dent. In fact, they've gotten worse, to be honest with you. So, and that's a lot of money. So I don't know where they go. I mean, the only thing he has going for him is they're in Las Vegas now. And, you know, he's great to go out there and go to casinos and meet with people and
sell
and do
tickets.
That thing. So, yeah, sell tickets. So he's great for that, and he's going to have some worth coming up because of that. But, yeah. I don't know how long they go. I mean, does he go all the way to year 10 and still not make the playoffs the entire 10 years with that contract?
I think John Gruden will be the president of football operations at the end of this season. There's no way he's going to be coaching 3 years from now. If he does, he'll be an invisible person walking the sidelines and somebody else will be running those practices. Somebody else will be running the organizations and the game plans. There's no way he's going to be coaching 2 years from now.
And you also wonder too, if because they're not going to be good this year, and it's not going to, you know, no one's going to play
out. Not in that division, no way.
And if he's done, what becomes of, like, say he wants to go back to broadcasting. Has this tainted him so much? Because he's not the Super Bowl winning coach anymore.
That's
team. Or the Raiders. I mean, does that taint? I mean, it has to taint you at some point because you're giving, you know, all this knowledge out. But basically, as a coach over the modern era, you've been terrible.
Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, with the exception of Louis Riddick, who I really like in the booth on Monday Night Football, who's in his way? Peyton Manning doesn't want to do it. People love Tony Romo. He's not my cup of tea. But
He was replaced by Louis Riddick, wasn't he? No, Louis got it last year. That's true.
Yeah, it was Booger McFarland, Mike Tirico, and I can't remember who the third person was. I mean, at one point, they just gimmicked and put Booger on the sidelines on a chair, sliding up and down the sideline. Like, if Gruden wanted that job, I think he could get that job back. So he may
I don't know, because to me, Louis Riddick's so good and explains the game so well and sees it from every aspect that it's hard to get, like, Gruden on there with his, you know, cheeky,
Y2 banana split runner-upper.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what? How do you put that guy next to somebody like Lewis Riddick?
I think as a character, at this point, he's John Madden. Boom. He just sounds. He's not really real. He's not really breaking anything down.
He was never even close to John Madden. John Madden, I mean, these guys bring people in. I mean, Howard Cosell didn't know dog about football, but he'd bring people in. I was going to say Danny Don Meredith, but I didn't. I mean, Keith Jackson, just because of his voice in college football.
Yeah. But
you can't, he's not that kind of guy. I mean, he doesn't bring viewers in. I mean, Lewis is so good that, you know, you just want to get in there when you go to your office party, you sound like you know what you're talking about just by regurgitating what he says.
That's true. That's facts. We do love Lewis Riddick on this show. Shout out.
Shout out.
Last thing. We got a couple minutes, but last thing. College football seems to be melting. And not melting like it's melting away. It's melting into one big old ball of football. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the Big 12, the Big 10, the ACC, and the Pac-12 are not all going to join forces, apparently. They're forming an alliance to expansion, to focus on expansion, scheduling, and NCAA rules. I guess they're going to try to massage the rules to make this work. Can we just call this what it is? They've now become a paid minor league organization, and they're hiding it.
Texas and Oklahoma, I mean, they're premier programs in the United States, but just because you go to the SEC, that's another $20 million per team a year in TV revenue because you're with the SEC. It's basically just TV revenue. And then again, you're going to get San Diego States and Boise States and BYUs and schools like that are just going to be dead if you're not in one of these major conferences. They've been dying recently anyway.
I think teams like San Diego State, BYU, San Jose State, Utah UNLV. State, UNLV. I think these teams are dead from a football standpoint.
They've been dead for a while. They just don't know it.
I think these teams are dead. These conferences are dead. This is basically FCS one football. This is what it's going to turn into. They're going to have
to wait. This is how you know they're dead. I mean, and this is why they have the big money is, you know, San Diego State starts on and plays at 7 at night and finishes at like 10. That's like 2 in the morning in back east. All the major markets, you're finishing a football game at 2 in the morning. It's like Hawaii, the same thing. It's like, unless you get out of there or start, I don't know why they don't play early. I mean, I would like to see San Diego State nationally a lot more, but they don't play in a time slot that allows that.
What I've never understood was the Pac-10 after dark idea. I always thought that was stupid. Mm-hmm. Play the games at noon, man. If it's noon here, it's 5 on the East Coast. Who gives a damn about what's happening? If you're on the East Coast, I'm not watching no damn football game at midnight in California. I don't care.
Not even that you don't care. You just went through, you've been at the bar for 9 hours and went through 9 other games. You passed out drunk.
You got no time.
You passed out drunk, period. You passed out drunk, period, by that time.
When I wake up in the morning, on Saturday morning, there is college football on my television. Okay, mm-hmm. Syracuse is playing West Virginia or whatever the hell. Miami's playing Pittsburgh. It's on the television when I wake up at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. You can play at 1 o'clock and have it be 4 o'clock there. I never understood them trying to package night games on the West Coast as the way to go, knowing that football is – I don't know who you are, but you're going to take this the wrong way because I know you're out there somewhere. So I think we're going to have 2 to 3 thumbs down on this episode when they get to this point.
I'll profile them. I'll get them.
No one cares what UCLA did at 1 a.m. if I'm in New York. I don't care. I legit don't care. So when it comes to Heisman voters, I don't care what happened at the University of Oregon. I don't, unless you've got Marcus Mariota, who was the number 2 pick at that point. I don't care what's happening unless you're USC and you've got Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush and Mike Williams and Troy Polamalu.
I'll watch it.
If you don't have those, and by the way, they played during the daytime.
And again, Pac-10 at night is, again, it's a crazy idea because you're automatically limiting yourself to that region on TV wise because again, nobody will stay up. But the people that watch those games will watch it in the afternoon because they want to watch USC, right. They want to watch San Diego State, they want to watch UCLA. They'll watch it at any time. But the other half of the country will only watch it if it's on during the day. I can bet on it. I mean, I go to my appointment secondhand bed at 1 a.m. I'm passed out drunk. Damn it.
One of the biggest changes I hope we see from this is that the Big Ten and the ACC talk to Pac, whatever it is at this point, into playing when the sun is up. Please play your games when the sun is up so this can be relevant. It's bad enough that you've now melted all three of these conferences together. And I think at this point it's like 45 teams. It's a 45-team conference. What the hell you need the rest of the NCAA for at this point? If you've got three teams with 12 teams in the league, that's too much. It's too much.
And if you look at it, there's a reason the NFL only has night games. And when there's a night game in the NFL, it's the only game. There is no competition. It's Monday night, Thursday night. That's it. And there is no competition. High school only is for Friday nights. That's it. When the NFL, who's smarter than anybody when it comes to marketing, they'll only do it, but they make you watch it because there's nothing else to compete against.
When you look up and you see 8 Pac-12 games at 1 o'clock in the morning in New England, who the hell cares about that? I wake up in Miami. I'm getting ready to go out to the club. It's 1:30, and the game is like, oh, fourth quarter, last play.
I'll stay and watch the game. Yeah, let's watch UCLA play San Diego State. Screw the club.
Right. Not going to happen, bro. Now you can put the game on in the club. That's the only place they're getting views at this point with football on the West Coast when it comes to East Coast viewers is in strip clubs and nightclubs.
Ain't nobody watching that, man. The only place they watch it is Las Vegas and the West Coast. Las Vegas because they're betting on it. You know, degenerates on the casinos betting on it or the sports books. And the people that will watch it no matter what time you put it on because they're the fans of that region.
We'll see. We're going to end on that note because whenever Bert drops some knowledge, it's time to run. Brown and Bert, till next time. See y'all tomorrow. Peace.